And so now we come to Nahum. This word means comfort. And there are two books in the Bible that have to do with Nineveh, Jonah and Nahum. And this is an interesting thought. Capernaum is simply Capernaum, city of consolation. Many believe that it means the city of Nahum. Could be. He was an Elkoshite from a town of Elko. There's a town up on the Euphrates, I believe it is, named Elko, but this doesn't seem to be the town, though this word, this town, spoken of by Jerome in the fourth century, it still can't positively be identified. It was evidently a very small village. And his message was a burden, a heavy thing, something maybe that was hard to deliver. The book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite, then he speaks of God. Now this came some years later, after Noah. How quickly people forget. Every generation has to be evangelized. Africa had the strongest Christian churches in the world at one time, according to history. I read some time ago that the area that we call, you know, the seven churches to Asia, the area where Paul did so much evangelizing, that there are only about 50 Christians in the whole country. Some people challenge that, but you see, that's all Mohammedan now. And they are strictly anti-Christian. Somebody said where they didn't find a desert, they made one. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. In Romans 12, we read, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." And you remember the gods of vengeance? The mills of the gods grind slow but exceedingly small. And God seems to move slowly, but when he moves, it's like we read earlier concerning the Jews, there was no remedy. And Jerusalem has twice come down. One time I decided to preach a sermon on this text from David, that his house would have war. And I discovered they had so many wars, it'd be almost, well, it'd have to take a series of sermons to speak on it. So I didn't do it. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserveth wrath for his enemies. He said the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. I've known people whose temper was just on a hair trigger. A boy wouldn't take anything from anybody. Somebody killed him with a knife. But the Lord is slow to anger. He will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. I can remember the first time I ever read that, it helped me, and I'll tell you how it helped. I grew up in tornado country. We lived one time, there was a house here and a house here, and in between them there was a storm cellar. My father wasn't afraid of storms. My mother was. A storm came, and she took us children to the cellar. Suddenly the cellar door flew open, and here came my father. And the storm blew him down twice before he got there, and just as he opened the cellar door, it just picked up this one house and split it. And the same storm blew my brother-in-law's barn away, just tore it down, clear down across the field, and it was rather comical. Next week it came a storm, blew it back the other way, and did it upright. Blew the house partly off the foundation, and the same part of the country I had an uncle. And this was kind of comical in a way. He went to a storm cellar, and the storm picked up the house and set it on top of the cellar. And he had to dig his way out. He happened to have an axe in the cellar, and his family was gone. So always when there was a storm, I went to a cellar. But this calmed my fears in that respect. He hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. And I believe if the Lord wants to take my life, he can take it any way he wishes. I believe he can protect me. We were in eastern Oklahoma one time in a church service, Brother Shibley, Brother Benny Toops and myself, and we started home and we had the radio on, and we changed direction three times. Every time we'd start away, we'd hear on the radio that a tornado had been sighted over there. We'd take another road. And when we got home, I had parked my car at his house, and when I started off and got stuck in the mud, he had to get a tractor and pull me out. And what we didn't know was that the whole west side of Sepulpa had been blown away and 1,500 people had been left homeless that night. So I had good reason to be. I have a wholesome respect for a tornado, but I don't feel like I used to about them. The Lord has charge of things, and he can do what he wants to. In that town, I'll tell you a little story that is impressive to me. There was a young widow with three children, and they were hard up. And the Lord showed her one day that he was going to blow her part of town away. And on that day, she got so nervous that she called a taxi cab, went clear across town to her sister's and spent the night. I drove out to see where her house had been, and except for a foundation, you couldn't tell there had ever been a house there. It was that gone. But the Lord showed her that. And the interesting part was she was so poor, she wasn't especially spiritual, just a good girl, hard up in life, no husband, three small girls. But anyway, he has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry. What a good discussion of the things of God. He drieth up the rivers. Remember how Elijah and Elisha crossed the Jordan, and Israel crossed the Jordan, and Israel crossed the sea? Bashan languisheth. That is, he dries it up. This is a great pasture land, Carmel. The word Carmel means fruitful. The flower of Lebanon, that great mountain, languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt. The earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation, and who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. Notice now that he speaks here of the whirlwind, the storm, and the clouds, and the sea, and the countryside, Bashan, Carmel, and Lebanon. Then he speaks of the mountains and the hills and the earth. He speaks of the rocks as being poured down, his fury like fire, the rocks are thrown down. He just seems to take in nature and show that it's less than putty in the hands of God. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Here's a good passage from the Proverbs. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know what a tower was, don't you? It was maybe made out of rock or sometimes out of wood. And many people would come and get in it, and they'd close the doors. And if the invaders approached too close, you remember in the book of Judges again, there was a woman threw down a piece of a millstone to break a man's head. And he turned and said to a man, "Thrust me through, lest it be said that a woman killed me." Well, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. With an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. He's talking about Nineveh. Nineveh was the place where Jonah preached. It was the capital of Assyria. And I'll get a little ahead of the story, but the river, it was on the west bank, or the north bank, if I remember right, of the river Euphrates. And there was a saying that it would never fall until the river became its enemy. And the Babylonians and others were invading them and had them under siege, and they had thrown some of the river around it by excavating, and a great rise in the river tore down a lot of the wall. And it is said that the king got in his palace, and with all of his concubines and all of his treasures, he set it on fire and perished. And it was lost for years, until they began to excavate it, and then they found out what they had found. They had found ancient Nineveh. The ninth verse, what do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Notice an utter end in the eighth verse, an utter end in the ninth verse. Affliction shall not rise up the second time, for while they be folded together as thorns, while they are drunken as drunkards, they shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. It is said that like Babylon, you remember Belshazzar had his feast. This is when the hand came forth and wrote on the wall, and Daniel interpreted it. And then it said that night was Belshazzar slain. What he didn't know was that the besieging armies had turned the river into what they claimed was two dry lake beds, and they went in to the city, and he didn't even know it was taken. So it is claimed that there was a drunken feast in progress, and they were taken before they were aware of what was taking place. They shall be devoured as stubble fully dry. Therefore, as one come up out of thee that imagineth evil against the Lord, a wicked counselor. We believe this to have been Shalmaneser. You remember what happened to him? He sent men, we'll read that, the Lord willing, next week, to blaspheme the name of the Lord. And Hezekiah took his letter and read it before the Lord. And then you will remember, the Lord killed 185,000 of his men in one night. One angel, didn't take a whole company of them. Thus saith the Lord, though they be quiet, and likewise many, yet thus shall they be cut down when he shall pass through. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. This would be the end of it. Now I will break his yoke from off thee, and will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown, that he is going to be killed and destroyed. His name, his descendants wouldn't be scattered. Out of the house of thy gods will I cut off thy graven image. He was killed as he worshipped in the house of his God. I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. Well, this next verse is something completely different, so we'll leave off there for this week.